Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of June 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Along the way today, we'll ask for your participation by dialing this number, 217-244-9455, and pledge of financial support to the agricultural programming from Illinois Public Media. More on that later, and an update of the weather forecast on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished like this. The nearby soft red winter July contract for the wheat at $6.72 1/4, down a penny. Next year's July at $8.09, 3.5 lower. The hard red in Kansas City finished at $8.04 1/2, up 6.5 cents. And the spring July down 3 at $8.97 1/4. July corn futures today, $7.25, 1.25 lower. September at $6.87, up 2.5 cents. December at 660, that's the harvest month, 7 higher, and the March at 671 3/4, up 6 1/4. July corn, 685 3/4, up 6 1/4. December of next year, $6 even, up 4.5 cents. That's the 2012 contract. July soybean futures, $13.33, down 17.5 cents. The August at $13.33 1/2, down 16.5, and September at $13.32 3/4. Down 15 1/4. November beans, $13.33 1/4. The harvest month finished 17 cents lower in the beans. And January futures, $13.42 3/4, down 17. November of the following year at $13.13 3/4 for 2012, down 19.5 cents. July bean meal down 4.70. July bean oil down 40 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in the August contract at $110.20, up $2.35 today. The September feeders at $133.57 1/2, or $2.32 1/2 cents higher. And the lean hogs finished the August contract on a Friday afternoon at $94.85 per 100 pounds. That's 37.5 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading the July at $93.14 a barrel. Down $1.81. Ethanol at $2.64 1/10 cents. That's 0.7 cents higher. Natural gas at $4.33 9/10, down 7 3/10. The heating oil, diesel fuel, a penny and 0.6 cents lower at $2.98 7/10. And the gold futures, $1,538.60 an ounce, up $9.30. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,026, just about 65 points higher on the afternoon. The dollar at 74.9. down 0.77. The CRB index at 335.48, down 1.41 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for this afternoon. Friday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 84 degrees. West winds at 13 to 15. They'll gust all the way to 22 this afternoon. Tonight, a 30% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms. Those will come after 1 o'clock, partly cloudy with a low of 65. West winds at 8 miles an hour this evening. And on Friday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny, a high of 85. South winds, hey, you know what? This is an old forecast, so we won't worry about that. We'll pick it up later, and we'll catch up with that forecast as we get to the bottom of this half hour. I'll just turn the paper around and ignore it. It got printed up, and we won't bother with it at this time. Hey, one thing, make sure that you dial this number right now, 217-244-9455. It is your way to pledge your financial support to this radio station, WILL, and make sure that the management here knows ag programming is important to you. More on that one later as we make our way through the program.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. If you have not dialed in with your pledge of financial support to the agricultural programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media, be you listening on our home radio station or one of our radio affiliates on the web, or if you just happen to be getting something that's forwarded to you, please do right now make that time to call in at 217-244-9455. We kind of like the $120 level. The important part is that you participate in the program. We really do depend on you. 40% of our funding comes from you, our listeners, so do it right now. On this Friday afternoon, time to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. On hand, as usual, is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hey there, Todd. Since it's Father's Day weekend, I wanted to offer to buy you a pancake breakfast if you want to bring your family to the Fountain County Fairgrounds tomorrow morning. There's a cancer benefit for a good friend of mine from Vetersburg. So come out, and I'll buy your whole family a pancake breakfast.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, what time again and where?
It's at 6 to 10, and I think it's at the Fountain County Fairgrounds. It's part of the Relay for Life.
Oh, that is a very good cause. Thank you for mentioning it. And if I didn't have to come in here and pitch for dollars tomorrow morning, I would come over. I really, truly would, but I'll be back here live tomorrow morning for Commodity Week and make sure that we are trying to generate enough dollars for this radio station and the Illinois Public Media, that is, to manage to get through the next year.
I hope you have a good week. You guys deserve
agricultural
it.
Agricultural programming. Dave Dickey wants to know if he's invited over, too.
Absolutely.
I love pancakes,
too, Dave. They're going to be sorry they invited me.
No, they won't.
Well, I mean, I'll eat them out of house and home.
Yeah, well, that could be. If you bring all your family,
Well, there you go. We got to charge up the Prius to get down there.
You're going to have to get a Prius with a wagon behind it, buddy. All right.
No, I hope you guys have a good fundraiser with your Will Radio. You guys sure deserve it. You do a terrific job.
Hey, thanks so much, Mike. Okay, so speaking of that terrific job, we better take up what's at hand here because it's been an interesting 2 weeks. A flight higher after the USDA World Agricultural Outlook Board said, wait a second, we know the acreage report isn't due out until June 30, but we think we better tally this a little earlier, and dropped out a number that was a bunch lower for acreage. And then this week, there seemed to be a flight out of the marketplace. Can you kind of give me a big, broad overlook over the last 2 weeks of trade?
I think they're both somewhat related, Todd, from a standpoint that I always felt like that the carryover number from the report was probably partially dialed in, and that the trade was then looking to the weather and looking for the rest of the planting progress numbers to see if they needed to go any higher. And I think that's where the trade was probably smart in saying, okay, let's take a pause here. We're seeing demand erosion starting to take place. We're seeing the poultry sets drop. We're seeing the ethanol numbers slow down. And we're seeing the outside markets get more and more vulnerable. You know, 2-3 weeks ago, we did have a general consensus out there that we were out of the recession. There was not going to be a double dip. But now, in the last couple, 3 weeks, it's become more apparent that stagflation is probably hitting our country, where we're going to see rising prices and still weak demand. And the inflationary bug has bit the emerging markets, and they're really trying to control that. So part of the break was probably justified from a standpoint of feeding that supply bull in the corn market especially. But what we didn't have to continue the market higher and to add to the downside was the fund community. They got scared. I think they got scared partially because of the outside markets, but I think also because of the talk about renewed regulation, high food prices, not just here in the United States and what happened with the ethanol industry and the ethanol vote this week, but also with the upcoming G20 meeting. France's president is making that one of the top priorities of next week's meeting. So my sense is, from both who I talk to up in Chicago and also what I see in the analysis, is the fund community is nervous and they wanted to take some money off the table.
On demand erosion, did you get a look at the cattle on feed numbers?
I did, yes.
And so I've got some questions about those, because let's go through them. So the numbers look like this. On feed as of June 1, this is released at 2 o'clock Central Time this afternoon, USDA now says at 144% of the previous year. But that number is actually below the trade estimates.
Exactly.
And the placed in May, while in the trade estimates, is on the low end of that at 89%. And then the marketed in May, and maybe you can help me make sense of this, is at 107%, and that's well above what the traded range, and they were at 103.2 on the average, but topped out at 104.
I think the marketing's number was mostly exports. I don't think that probably came from the domestic side. I'm guessing that the sharply lower dollar of the last several months has proved out to be a really good boon for the export market for beef. As far as the on-feed and placement numbers, it suggests to me that the trade was thinking the drought and the poor forage was going to see another big month of placements, and we were going to see a huge number on feed, and some had it up to 106.8 for the high end. We didn't get that. I think that's truly a surprise to the market. I think that feeds the bull nicely. This report feeds the bull nicely for the cattle, and I think that's where it goes back to, with placements only 89%, and like you say, on the low end of the range, with very hot weather, that maybe will help the corn feeding demand a little bit, but I think that doesn't add much to the corn feeding demand with today's report. So fat cattle, the fact that we had the biggest weekly gain since mid to late 08, it's justified, and I think that the trade will probably continue to buy dips, but it wasn't a great report for the corn market.
Yeah, August feeder cattle, you mentioned, they were up $9.02 on the week.
You bet. Yeah, they're just a phenomenal run. I think there again, I think the packers, especially with the summer coming on, big news from earlier this year was, oh, it's cool and wet, we're not going to have any grilling season. So if I'm right about the export numbers being the main thrust of this good demand and this good marketing's number, well, we've got a grilling season now, and I think, again, I'm looking at 100 to 110 degree temperatures in the Texas Panhandle. That's snaking up into western Kansas by, you know, Monday, Tuesday. That's not going to add a lot of weight. So I think the cattle market's going to be well underpinned here.
And you mentioned the fat cattle, the live cattle. They were up $7.02. So both sides of that marketplace rallying, trying to keep, I suppose, cattle coming into the marketplace and going to market both.
Yeah, and you know what? The dress weights in the hogs on the total on the red meat sheet today, then the total production number sheet from USDA, the dress weight in hogs dropped a pound also. So I'm hearing from Chicago that there are some ethanol producers that only have 1 to 2 weeks worth of stocks in the eastern Corn Belt at this point. I'm guessing that's in an area that's heavily influenced and you know saturated with livestock numbers as well. So I think you did see the demand go down in the corn. And look at what wheat and corn did this week. It was a race to the bottom, to the downside. The July corn lost 86 and three quarters. July wheat lost 87 cents. It's the power of that wheat corn spread and the power of that wheat coming in as a substitute feed grain for the corn. I think that's where, again, going into the next week and looking at today's close, I was not impressed with the corn. It was nice to see Kansas City wheat turn around. But we really need a lot better trade out of the wheat if we're going to get this corn to go higher again.
You know, at $50 a penny, that really hurts, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Sometimes
we don't, you know, we talk about cents all the time, and 86 and three-quarter cents lower in July corn, but you multiply that by $50, and you start talking about real money real fast.
And no, I think you bring up a huge point. I think that's where you maybe didn't stress the margin call selling. In other words, maybe the margin excesses were still there because of the run-up we had, but with the kind of losses we had this week, I'm guessing that we're going to have some pretty big stress on the margin calls next week if we don't turn around relatively quickly. So you look at the commodity index chart that I follow on a weekly basis, it didn't break below the 2008 highs. That's good, gives you a little bit more confidence, but what you need now is one of those supply-driven springboard bounces off of this week's trade to get the fund momentum shifting back into this was a dip to buy, let's go ahead and jump in. But that's where it's really going to be. Monday, Tuesday's trade is going to be really important.
Well, if it's supply-driven, so what does that mean? There's nothing between now and then unless we've got a really dry weather situation, and it would have to be, or really wet, one of the two, I guess. I don't know.
You know, you're looking at the crop progress numbers on Monday as right. One of those supply drivers. You're looking at mainly the stocks and acreage report. I guess when I quantify the supply driver, I think it's more supply-driven for the corn and for the beans. But that, again, why would the wheat want to bottom first? Because we saw a lot of wheat demand come in this week as prices dropped. So we are picking up demand again with this price break in the wheat. So it adds to the idea that if something's going to bottom, and if you want the corn to have no less feed competition, get the wheat off your back.
Well, you're telling me that wheat's got to find a bottom and rally in order for it not to be fed as a substitute. But don't you think that it has to be fed as a substitute if we're going to make it all the way through August?
There is going to be some of that. But I also think that if you look at it on a global scale, you've got a lot of Europe and a lot of Asia that have run their stockpiles down to razor-thin amounts. And they're going to want to try and rebuild those stocks. So that new crop Northern Hemisphere supply is going to need to be rebuilding partially into the stockpile. So if the quality's there, I think that's less of a concern.
Hey, thank you so much for taking
the time. Todd. Have a good weekend.
Hey, you too now. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, is in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Friday afternoon. If you'd like to hear him again, you can do that anytime you'd like off our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Speaking of which, when you're there, there's a big red button. I think it's still there up in the right-hand corner. Dave Dickey shaking his head. You bet you there is. That says pledge your financial support. And we'd like you to do that, too. We'll tell you more about that in a moment.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is funded in large part by you. In fact, about 40% of the funds that operate the programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media generated by you, our listeners. Now, if you listen on the web or you happen to dial in to our mobile analyst portal, that's our voicemail, or you listen to us on one of our many radio stations and you haven't ever picked up the phone and said, you know, this program is one that makes a difference to me, I think I ought to support it. Today's probably the time to do that because we're looking for a couple $100,000 between now and June the 30th. We're going to put those in the bank and it'll go along with all of the rest of the fundraising we've done throughout the year. And we won't spend any more than that in the next year. We're very fiscally responsible here at the radio station. 40% of that fiscal responsibility comes from you. And we need another couple $100,000 to make everything work right next year. Give us a little time today at 217-244-9455. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express. Of course, you can just call up, pledge your support, write us a check, and send it to us. As long as it all makes it here by June 30th, Dave Dickey, it certainly counts.
It does indeed, Todd. And, you know, as I go around and you know, participate in agricultural outlook panels around the two-state region, I'm often asked by people who attend those meetings, does my pledge really make a difference to agricultural programming or agricultural services at Illinois Public Media? And I can answer that question for everyone who is listening to my voice today, and that is a resounding yes. It is your dollars, your gifts, that really make us able to grow this service. If it wasn't for your generous support of this service, we would not have podcasts and MP3 flash and downloadable files and that phone service that Todd was talking about a moment ago, the text service, the Ag e-newsletter. We would essentially being in the mode that we were 8 or 7 years ago when we were essentially a WILL AM 580 service, and that was our primary and singular platform. But your dollars have made it possible to provide you the information that you seek and need for your agriculture outlooks and your marketings on any number of ways. And if you make your contribution now at 217-244-9455, know that we will be using those dollars next fiscal year in some other creative ways and perhaps introducing some new platforms. We are thinking about some weather on television. Jay Pierce, our content manager, and I are developing a proposal that might put Commodity Week on television eventually. We have some other ideas as well. How about a smartphone app for your phone, a WILL ag.org app? All of that is possible with your dollars and your support, and we hope that you will go to your phone and pledge now. We like the $120 level. Less is great, more is wonderful, but please do pledge. 217 214-944-9455 is the number to call.
That indeed is the number to call, 217-244-9455. Do it right now. Visa, Discover, MasterCard, American Express, all accept it. You can write us a check, send it to us in the mail, but do it right now at 217-244-9455. One note, whether you're pledging online at willag.org and then the red button up there in the corner, or if you're making that phone call to 217-244-9455, please do tell them that you're pledging in support of agriculture. It makes a difference to the management, makes a difference to Dave and I, too. And thank you. Thank you so very much for taking the time and sharing your wealth with us. Now it's time to check in on the cash grain market for the afternoon. Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois, graciously donates his time each and every week to talk with us. Bruce, thanks so much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
In your area, what are producers thinking about the marketplace and new crop corn?
Well, in old crop, a dollar a bushel drop-off will kind of grab your attention.
Yeah, I'm thinking it probably will. Yeah, 86 and three quarters. New crop was down 50 and two and a half for those who are keeping track.
A week ago, everybody was comfortable with their sales. Right now, they wish they'd added a little bit more on to that. Basically, though, we're switching the concerns to the new crop. It looks like we're getting the rationing job done on old crop. We're seeing a lot of switching to wheat demand in areas where the harvest is rolling on the soft red. So the focus is on new crop, and we still have our checklist of things to worry about on new crop. We're up 7 on the board today. Basis has gone up a penny in the last week or so, and where old crop basis is feeling maybe a little iffy, new crop seems to be hanging in there.
What's the checklist that can be influenced today on new crop?
We still have too dry, too hot. And it's a long ways before we worry about early frost.
So it's not really about getting more acres or anything like that. It's just that's a done deal. So it's really a weather-driven market. That'll be June, July, August as we make our way through then. And then if it gets really wet and we can't get it out, I suppose, in the fall. We're sitting at, 5.2% as the stocks-to-use ratio is based off the last World Agricultural Outlook Board. That's tight at 695 on the carryout.
It's tight and timing will be tight. We can have a decent-sized crop, but if you've got 15 days of carryover and your crop's 30 days late, it can make life interesting.
In that August time frame, and more so if you're in the Eastern Corn Belt where it's really late.
Now, we have seen some reaction out there. It sounds like a couple of ethanol plants in the east have shut down or are in the process of shutting down, but those basis levels were just not supportable. You're seeing wheat moving into the hog and the chicken rations in the southeast, and I'm sure that if we see anything in the west, you have to see that in some of the cattle lots.
Are there any rumblings that those plants that shut down will just shutter completely?
I don't think so yet on the origin plants in Corn Belt areas. Destination plants and stuff that has, funky technology, I'll say. Some of those might be down for a longer period of time.
And those are mostly on the East Coast.
Yes.
And a few in California, right?
Yep.
Okay. And your bids for the day?
We are at 7.05 on nearby corn and 13.41 on soybeans.
Hey, thanks so much, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. He's in Ludlow, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report that happens each and every Friday afternoon. If you have not dialed in with your financial support, please do so right now at 217-244-9455. And thank you so very much.
It's National Eat Your Vegetables Day. It's also National Apple Strudel Day. By the way, we like the latter over the former. On this day in agricultural history in 1239, King Edward I of England was born. His coronation feast included 278 bacon hogs, 450 pigs, 440 oxen, 430 sheep, and more than 22,000 hens. In 1862, W.H. Fancher and C.M. French patented an unusual plow-gun combination. To the metal plow with wooden handles, the pair added a gun that could shoot grape shot or balls of 1 to 3 pounds weight. The combination was proposed to give farmers, according to the patent, quote, an efficient weapon of defense at very slight expense, in addition to that of a plow. In 1870, George Cormack, the creator of Wheaties cereal, was born. While mixing a batch of bran gruel, Cormack accidentally spilled some of the mix on a hot stove, where it sizzled into a crisp flake, the Wheaties prototype. Cormack tested 36 varieties of wheat before developing the perfect flake. And in 1881, Sir Arthur Hardin died, an English biochemist. He was co-recipient of the 1929 Nobel Peace Prize for Chemistry for work on the fermentation of sugar and the enzyme action involved. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
This is the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us is Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather for the weekend.
Well, it looks like it's going to be sort of typically summer, I think, for the weekend. Temperatures have warmed up today, and we've seen the dew points climb into the mid and upper 60s, and that's going to be sort of the case throughout the weekend. Temperatures will be in the mid to upper 80s, and with the extra humidity and some upper-level disturbances moving through, looks like we'll have a chance for showers and thunderstorms. Nothing probably too organized, maybe until late Sunday in northern Illinois, but nevertheless, scattered thunder showers here and there.
Now, you are a climatologist and deal with things that have happened in the past in much more detailed versions than many of our meteorologists. I want you to take a look around the nation at this point and tell me what you see that interests you. Of course, there's a drought in the southern areas. You have a great big snowpack out west that's causing problems along the Missouri River. How do you find it, and what is of most interest?
Well, this has been a very odd spring in a lot of ways. With the amount of severe weather we've had, the flooding situation. Of course, we had the flooding earlier along the Ohio River, and then still have flooding along the southern Mississippi River. But there was flooding here all the way from Minnesota down to through Missouri and into the Ohio Valley confluence. That was largely due to heavy snowpack over Minnesota that lasted much longer than normal. And the snow has actually been the big news this year in a lot of areas. It was partially responsible for the flooding we had along the Mississippi, not so much along the Ohio, but it certainly contributed to flooding downstream. And now, of course, what's been in the news lately is all the flooding along the Missouri River from Montana all the way into Missouri and Iowa, not so much from rain, but from the heavy snowpack, which has been twice and more normal throughout much of the Rockies. So we've had that situation, and yet all that water up north, and as you alluded to, they're begging for it down in the southern plains, where there's been an ongoing drought in Texas and Arizona and New Mexico. The central Midwest, we've had our wet periods where obviously Ohio was way behind in corn planting as of a couple weeks ago because of the persistent wet weather there. And right now in the Midwest, we seem to think be sort of normal. We've had some heavy rain this week, up to 10 inches in western Illinois, but overall everybody seems to be getting some rain, but most areas not too much.
You say normal, but heavy rainfalls are a little bit unusual in the month of June. Normally it's drier than this. It was not last year. Is this a repeat of last year?
No, I don't think so. The heavy rain we had this month so far, mostly isolated to this week, actually, with that the series of thunderstorm complexes that moved from Missouri and Iowa down through western Illinois, were not unusual, but we don't always see them back-to-back like that. We have another one moving through southern Illinois this afternoon, which has been producing severe weather as it's moved from the St. Louis area, now approaching Terre Haute. But Evansville, but
Steve,
we haven't had too much heavy rain during June so far.
Gotta go. Thanks, Steve.
Okay.
That's Steve Hilberg. I'm Todd Gleason.